I think the one problem that all of us as human beings struggle with outside of sin is amnesia. We tend to be very forgetful. Politicians do it so well, don't they? They tend to forget the Constitution and they tend to focus on whatever they want to do. And yet, what have we not learned from history? And we have been told over and over again that if we do not understand and know history, we are bound and doomed to repeat it again. Yet politicians do it all the times. And us too, as human beings, we tend to be very forgetful. We've seen that in the Old Testament, after the many miracles and the many wonders that God had done to the people of Israel, they still forget whatever he had done to them. And even in our own life, we're not that better off. We tend to be very forgetful of what we're called to be, especially when trials and hardships come. When desolation comes, we tend to forget everything that God had done for us. And then we allow the devil to fill us with despair, negativity, and hopelessness, as if God had abandoned us. We tend to forget what he has done in the past, and we become so myopic, worrying about what is in front of us. We are a very forgetful people. We have a problem with amnesia. And that is why, for us to overcome this amnesia that we have in the genetic of our gene, we need to remember what God has done in our life. That is why the church teaches every time we come to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the words that we come and are invited to realize, it's called amnesis. Amnesis is in Greek. It means it's the real reliving of what Jesus had done on Calvary for us. It's the real reliving and participation in what Christ had done for us. It's the real participation and embracing of the love of Christ for us. In order for us to stop becoming forgetful, we need to remember what is truly important for us. If we truly, really love Christ, we need to remember all of the things that he had done for us in good times and the faithfulness that he has shown for us in the past where we had doubted him, had wanted to let go of him when we were tried. Even when we were unfaithful to him, he continued to be faithful to us. That amnesis, or remembering of what Christ had done for us, is truly important. And once we live the amnesis, or the reliving of the mystery of the cross, of the resurrection and of the Eucharist, then we can truly apply it in our own particular vocations. Many of you are married, and oftentimes I tend to hear a lot of marriage problems. And when the couple come in, they always kind of try to triangulate. And so they, instead of talking among themselves, they talk to me. And oftentimes I get yelled at because they don't want to yell at each other, or they're tired of yelling at each other. So we have to ask ourselves, especially when you're going through trials and hardship in your own marriage, why do I love this person? Do not forget your first love. What made this person precious? Why did I fall in love with this person in the first place? Don't ever forget that. If we do not remember why we love this person, then we become myopic and fixed on the problems. Then we stop loving the person and begin to hate the person because of what he or she is doing now. That's why the church always asks us to love the person and hate the sins. We never ever hate a person because he or she is made in the image and likeness of God. If we have to preach, we preach again the sinfulness, the things that are wrong, but we never abandon a person. That is important too. For many of you, especially when you begin to have arguments, when the honey and the honeymoon or whatever, it no longer sweet, and you look at each other and then you go like, why did I get married? Why did I do this? But remember, what made you love that person in the first place? Forgive the sins and always cherish the person in front of you. That is what's important. That helps us rise above the things that are in front of us and remember what is real, what is substantial, what is nourishing. In your own life of faith as well, Jesus is calling you and I to go beyond the things that are in front of us, that worry us, so that we can see that what God had done for me in the past, He will continue to do right now, even though I might not see His work, even though I might not see His presence. I love Him because He had loved me. And just that He had never abandoned me in the past, He will never abandon me now. How sad it is for us to see in the gospel reading today. After Jesus, this is the end of John 6, okay? The bread of life discourse, where the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He revealed Himself to the people. Yet many of the people, including His own disciples, said, this saying is hard. Who can accept it? And many of them left Him. And He looked at His own disciples, including those who are thinking, oh no, what is there to still to be with Him? What did He say? Do you also want to leave? Can you feel the sorrow in His tone? Do you also want to leave? And I believe that I've been reading a lot of comments online and in different places with the trying times that we have in the church today. And many people want to leave. And I don't blame them of the hurt that's being done. And I already preached about it last week. But we have to look at the Lord Jesus Christ, who looked at each and every one of us and ask us, do you also want to leave? My brothers and sisters, we don't leave Jesus Christ because of the sin of Judas. We stay because Jesus Christ loved us. And St. Peter had given us the perfect answer today. Master, to whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life. Not because we have heard from other people, but we have come to believe and are convinced that You are the Holy One of God. We know. It's a personal conviction. It's an intimate love. It's a faithfulness that even though we might still have questions. My brothers and sisters, in your own particular vocations, when the temptation comes, when you are being tempted to walk away, remember that your matrimony, your marriage, it's not just a contract or a piece of paper that you sign in front of a judge or in front of a priest. It's your commitment in front of God. Scott Hahn once said, and I'm preaching to a lot of married people. Scott Hahn once said, marriage is not easy. It's humanly impossible. And that's why Christ instituted marriage into a sacrament. So that's why when I hear young people tell me, Father, I want to get married at the beach. I want to get married at the resort. I want to marry at the barn. It's a popular thing now. We have to ask ourselves, what's his marriage all about? If Christ is not in the center of the marriage, your marriage is not transcending what you are attractive to each other now, trust me, those things will go away real fast. Your marriage has to be founded in Christ Jesus. So just like when we hear the second reading today, when your wife or your husband become hard to love, you are called to love him. You are called to love her just as Christ has loved the church and the church has loved Christ. Your marriage is more than what you feel. It's not euphoric joy. Marriage is Christ-centered in bearing and sacrificing yourself to one another. You discover that I have to love him or her because Christ has loved me. So therefore, if I recognize the love of Christ in my life, I therefore need to show it, apply it, and put it into practice with my own spouse. I give myself to you. I love you, not just with my own ability, but with the love of Christ. And the same thing for me too. As a priest, I was married to the church. I'm married to you. And is my family easy to love? The answer is no. But you are my joy, and you are my cross to embrace. I'm not talking about the negative things, but you are my joy and my cross to embrace. Because this is what I'm called to, so should you. If you're called to the sacrament of matrimony, then let your marriage be Christ-centered. If you're called to the sacrament of holy order, let your life and my life be Christ-centered. Whatever vocation you're called to, let our vocation be Christ-centered. Don't give up just because it's hard. But stay and persevere because Christ will give you the proper grace to do so. My brothers and sisters, I will end my homily today with the same sentiment as St. Peter had. I know this is not an easy time to be Catholics. There will be a lot of questions. There will be a lot of doubts. But St. Ignatius have already taught us that in our good times, do not be complacent, but always build up our spiritual strength so that when we're in desolation, when we feel like God is no longer there, we have something to grab onto, something to go back to. By recalling what God has done for us in the past. Never be complacent in your own vocation. Always strive to love Christ more by embracing the cross and by laying down your life and my life for this greater love. Do you also want to leave? I already know my answer, and I want to answer like St. Peter. Even though I am imperfect, even though I am a sinner, even though I sin every day, sometimes 2 or 3 times a day, I still love you, Jesus Christ. Master, to whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life.